Welcome back to Transformational Trauma and Healing. I'm so glad you're here today. I am really excited because I am bringing you a fantastic resource in Haley May. Haley May is a certified life and trauma coach based in the Washington, D.C. area. As a healing companion, she brings hope, understanding, direction, and support to those who feel stuck or broken by debilitating stress, anxiety, and past trauma. Haley is trained in helping people on their healing journey to free themselves from limiting beliefs in order to create and live their best lives by filling in the gap between where they were, where they are now, and where they want to be in the future. Welcome, Haley. I am so glad to have you here with us today.
Oh, thanks, Carrie. I'm like so excited to be here with you.
That's awesome. I am so fortunate in the how we met. Evolve Networking Group has brought me into the lives of so many fantastic people. And, I am always grateful for that. And you are one of those people. So lucky me.
I know. And lucky me, right? I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, man, how did I luck out to just get to know Carrie, be part of her journey? This is just, it's been a treat for sure.
Yeah. The feeling is mutual. Absolutely. So you are a certified life and trauma coach. Can you explain what it means to be a trauma coach? Because I think a lot of people wouldn't know that that's even a resource.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I like to call myself a trauma mitigation coach. And I like the word mitigation because it basically implies the word to mitigate, right, means to make something less severe or less serious, less painful. And for me, I love that definition because it basically means I get to be a healing companion with those who are on their healing journey. Mm-hmm. And because I'm intimately aware of how trauma can negatively impact your life, your relationship, your finances, all of the things. I am very intimately aware of that because of my own childhood and developmental trauma. It is something that really lights me up to be able to walk alongside of those who also are negatively impacted by their trauma.
Okay. So you're kind of bringing me to my next question, which is what drew you to the profession? Is that your own experience? Talk to us about that.
Yes, absolutely. I think for many of us, right, we kind of are drawn, especially in the mental health, mental wellness world, we're kind of mm-hmm. drawn to help those who maybe are experiencing what we experienced in the past. So yes, we are all kind of the walking wounded. And I was that person. I am 37 years old. And for the past 3 decades, I have carried the burden of trauma with me. And through all of the relationships and experiences in my life, and I truly felt broken. I was damaged and I was broken. And there was no hope or help for me. Until there was, until I found the hope in healing. And once I was able to wake up and start to heal and live, I just knew that this is what I wanted to do and be a part of to help other people heal as well.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I feel that as well. I guess my question is, trauma coach, how is that different from being a therapist? How is the journey with a therapist different from the journey with a trauma coach?
That's a really good question. I was in a seminar a few days ago with some therapists who were presenting on trauma, actually. And I have taken several trauma certifications and some courses. And we were all speaking the same language. Mm-hmm. So for me, there is a very fine line as to the tools that I have for my clients and what I can help them with, and when it's time to call in conjunctive support and refer them to maybe a trauma therapist, a grief therapist, somebody who has maybe more tools in their toolkit to help that individual person. It's very individual.
Got it.
Just like each therapist is different, and you need to find a therapist that is a good fit for you. For me, it's the same thing. So we're both speaking the same language. We're both helping a client on their healing journey. But there may be times when bringing in a coach is what is the next best step. Or there may be times when bringing in a therapist or other healing experts and modalities. So it's very individualized. I don't know if that's your experience as well.
That absolutely. You know, it has, I've gone the therapy route. I have gone the coach route. I have gone acupuncture and holistic healing kind of thing. And, you know, it is all very individual. I have meshed with some people. I have not meshed with other people. And, you know, so there's a lot to be said for that individualization, and also for the fact that you know that, okay, we've utilized all the tools in my toolbox. You still need some help. Let's look for some additional resources.
Yeah, I love that so much.
I like that a lot, because I think so often people who are helping really have the desire to help, but think they can do all the help, right? And don't search outside of their expertise for something that could be really beneficial as a resource for their client. So I absolutely love that you are willing to do that.
Yeah, I have to say I am a huge proponent of therapy. I've been in therapy for 20 years now. Therapy was amazing for certain aspects to help reconcile some really challenging things that happened to me in my past. But there did become a point where I felt like I was just rinsing and repeating. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't move forward, as I was just rehashing the past. And it was once I found life coaching and married the two together that everything for me changed. And my healing really started to take off. And so I think there's a beautiful place for both. And I love the coaching aspect, because for me and for my clients, it's kind of bridging that gap between where they were in their past, where they are right now, but now where do we want to be? Where are we going, and how can we get there while we're healing, and what does that look like?
Yeah. So what methods or approaches do you use to help people heal from trauma and or move to that where they're going to be?
Yeah, so there's so many, as you know, there's so many methods and healing modalities out there. Mm-hmm. I personally love to utilize somatic experiencing for myself and for my clients. So a big one that I utilize is tapping. And if for those listening who maybe aren't familiar with tapping, a great resource that I really enjoy and that I suggest to my clients is downloading the app, The Tapping Solutions.
Okay.
It's a free
the other day.
Did you really?
I think I did.
I am like telling all the people about The Tapping Solutions, and I have no affiliation with them at all. But tapping has been a huge, huge help for me as somebody who has some chronic anxiety and stress. Tapping has been amazing. So downloading the app, it's free. There is a paid version where you get access to more, obviously. But that's been one that I've really loved utilizing with clients. Also, IFS, Internal Family Systems, is a really great tool in helping those heal their inner child. Richard Schwartz is the individual who created Internal Family Systems. So doing a lot of that and feeling our feelings, which sounds really terrible to a lot of people.
It sounds terrible. Yeah.
And sometimes it's really terrible.
Not a fan.
None of us are, which is why.
At least the hard ones. Joy. Give me all the joy.
Well, and that is exactly it, is we are just like, give me all the joy. And we're pushing down and resisting these negative feelings that are coming up. And because we're resisting them, we're actually creating more negative patterns in our life, which is why a lot of us are overeating and over drinking and over social mediaing and shopping, right?
And overworking.
We're overworking, whatever, right? So really creating a safe space and container for clients to feel their feelings is a game changer. And again, the most important part there is creating a safe container, because for those of us who have experienced trauma, going inside and feeling the things in our body can sometimes feel like death. Yeah. It's actually like our brain gets so activated that I might be dying because I'm feeling this emotion. So it's one of those tricky ones, but important.
So talk to us a little bit about the somatic stuff, because I think a lot of people aren't familiar with that. I mean, unless you regularly look at other modalities, that's not a Western medicine thing.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I am so excited to announce the partnership between Transformational Trauma and Healing and Skinny Teas. I absolutely love this brand. I don't know about where you are, but spring in Maryland is unpredictable at best. I always need layers because one minute it is cold and the next it is hot. Skinny Teas is the best base layer out there. Their tanks come in every color imaginable and look as great under a cardigan or jacket as they do by themselves. They are made from the most comfortable, super stretchy fabric and truly work with any body type. This time of year, I wear a Skinny Tees tank daily. And now, through April 9th, my listeners will get 30% off the entire website during Skinny Tees Spring Sale. Go to skinnytees.com and use the code TTH30 at checkout for your 30% off. And to keep up on all the great things Skinny Tees is doing, check out their Instagram page at Skinny Tees.
Yeah, it's actually not something I was super familiar with up until a few years ago, but somatic healing basically means healing from within the body.
Okay.
So a lot of when people think about therapy, they kind of associate it with talking therapy, which is what we call a top the top-down method where we're just talking, right? Somatic is we're going from the bottom up, meaning we're going to the body to really figure out what is going on with the body, what needs to be healed. And so that's what I mean when I say somatic healing. And there are so many different types of somatic healing modalities. A very common one is EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. That is actually a therapy that I have done pretty extensively with a therapist. And that really focuses on your trauma memory while experiencing bilateral stimulation. I always want to say stimulation. There's compassionate inquiry. There's brain spotting. There's so many. And they are gaining a lot of traction. And so for anybody who is feeling stuck and maybe is not progressing with just normal talk therapy, you know, trying on some of these somatic healing modalities can be a really big help. And it's not a one size fit all. It's one of those things where you try it and it might not work for you. And that doesn't mean that you're super duper extra broken. It just means that modality doesn't fit for you and you now get to try another one.
Okay. So can you give us an example of a client that you've helped using a somatic modality? And obviously no names.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So let me think of a client more recently. I had a client who was experiencing a lot of stress and anxiety. They are a student and obviously have a lot on their plate. And because the anxiety was so activating, they could not access any sort of reasoning like a lot of us do who have a lot of overwhelm and anxiety. So we did some really basic tapping. And again, for those who might not be familiar with tapping, it's just these parts of the body that we tap to just really bring our nervous system down to be able to regulate it so we can access our higher brain. So on Zoom, we did some tapping. I actually turned on a tapping session from the Tapping Solutions app. And together we went through that. And she rated her anxiety and stress at an 8, between 1 and 10 at the start of the session. And after we went through the different tapping, she was all the way down to a 3.
Wow.
It can be very impactful. Again, I'm trying to be so careful saying it isn't always, and I don't want people to get stuck in this. It's not working for me, so I'm broken. It is a great tool, one tool out of all the tools to try.
Well, and I think that, I mean, your point is very well taken. I think it is so important to continue to share with people that no matter what they try, if it doesn't work, there are different things out there. There are other modalities. You will find something that works for you. You are not beyond repair, right? Yeah. And I think so many people try one thing or, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine who's a psychologist, and he was saying the other day that people work themselves up and it takes them so long to be able to make the therapy appointment, right? Or make the coaching appointment. And then if they don't mesh with the person or the thing that they tried with their coach didn't produce the results that were in their head, right? That they just stop and like, this isn't gonna work for me, I'm done. And that's doing such a disservice to their healing. And it's an important message, I think, for everyone. And I'm sure this is a message that you give your clients. We're going to try a lot of things that aren't going to work. We're going to try some things that are going to work too. I'm asking you to be patient. You know, like, let's keep trying. Give me honest feedback. And I think that's so hard for people, especially when they're already coming to you because they're so vulnerable and they feel so bad inside. That when something doesn't work, it's like, why did I even bother? Like, I'm just going to live this way. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, because it's not like you're trying on shoes, right? Or you're not trying out different hairdressers. This is real. This is pain. This is so, like you said, so vulnerable. And so to just attempt to talk about this with someone, to access that part of you that is wounded, is extremely scary sometimes.
It takes so much courage.
It takes so much courage. And then knowing that there's a chance that I'm putting myself out there and that it could potentially be more damaging or triggering is extremely, extremely scary. And I absolutely understand this. I went through over a dozen therapists in a 15-year span where I was re-traumatized with some of them, and it wasn't a good fit. And I made that mean all of the negative things about me and my ability to heal or be whole again. And that is detrimental to our health and our survival. And so it is important as a coach, as a trauma mitigation coach, to understand that this is something that could potentially heal or damage an individual, and to take that very seriously, and to know that while connection does mitigate trauma, letting somebody be vulnerable can seem very dangerous to them. So we just have to be very aware that, again, the container that we are creating is a safe space for everyone.
So how do you create that safe space container?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in the different trainings that I've done and in the current training that I'm doing as a trauma coach, as a trauma mitigation specialist, the number one thing is compassionate and deep listening. So for me, the most important thing is that my clients feel felt. They feel seen. They feel heard, understood, and cared for. So that is my number one priority. We create trust and safety from the very beginning, because if that is not there, then healing is just not possible.
Right. And so it could actually become more traumatic.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So deep, compassionate listening. That makes a lot of sense to me. So I guess if you have a client and they are, you know, coming to you to help them manage their emotions and responses to triggers, how do you help them with that while continuing that safe container?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. Basically, as we know, trauma reduces our ability to access our capacity, right? it's not just an ideation. It is a real thing. And so when I have clients who are coming to me with some trauma, first of all, I have all the love and the grace knowing that there is an inability for them in certain areas to access their own capacity. Because really, we are all the walking wounded, but we are all perfectly whole. Okay. And that is something that was a very difficult lesson for me to learn, mm-hmm. that I'm whole, even though there are parts of me that feel broken. I am whole as a human. And to see that in my client and eventually help them to see it, it's a game changer. So what I try not to have an agenda for my clients, because they really are the ones that know themselves. They are experiencing their trauma within their body. But what I want to help them do is to connect and kind of unburden.
Okay.
What they've been carrying around, like helping them realize that their trauma is not who they are, that they can put it down when they want to.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. Carrie here. Thanks so much for listening today. As many of you know, my new book, Trauma is a Catalyst, is available now on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. I'd love it if you would do me a favor. Buy a copy of my book, and if my story at all provides you with a spark of hope or a sense of connection, buy another copy and give it to someone who you think would benefit. Ask them to do the same. My goal is to positively impact a million or more people. You can help me do that. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of this great conversation. So that's an interesting concept. And it's funny because I had someone say to me once, why do you always lead with your accident? Like when I'm talking to people, like, you know, like, oh yeah, I was in this really bad accident, right? And she's like, you always lead with your accident. Like, why would I? I'm like, well, that's part of who I am, and there are still some things going on that are a result of that. And it, like, so I had all of these explanations or excuses or whatever they were. And so for me, that the concept of you can put this down is a really difficult one. So I can imagine that that is difficult for most of your clients, right? That it takes learning and healing to be able to get to that place.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In my healing journey, my identity was I am a sexual abuse victim. I am a trauma victim. I am a survivor. That was my identity, mm-hmm. because there were many parts of my childhood that were very tumultuous, and I experienced a lot of sexual and developmental betrayal trauma. And that was my identity. I am a victim. Right. And I say I like to help my clients know that they can put it down, but not that they should put it down or they need to put it down. Because for myself, putting it down was very scary, because that was who I was and my identity. And if I were to put it down, then it might completely dismiss what had happened to me.
Right. And I feel that, like, that was kind of my response to her was, well, we're just going to pretend that didn't happen. Like, that happened. It may not be my complete definition, right? But it has informed how my life has unwound since then, or, you know, progressed since then. It is like, I don't think you can let go of trauma in such a way that you like put it down forever. right? Like it's still a part of you. You're still going to carry it around. I want to say my acupuncturist said the other day, she's like, because I'm actually doing some acupuncture for PTSD right now. And she said, and I was really scared about it. I'm like, I know I want to do this because I want to not feel terrible every time I drive in the car. I said, but is this going to make me remember things I don't remember? And she's like, no, we're not taking all of the things away that happened. We're just detaching the feelings, the emotions from it. Is that kind of how you look at it? Like detaching the anxiety and the fear and the like, yes, this horrible thing has happened to you. We're not denying that. That is a part of who you are. And you don't have to have those emotions wrapped up in it.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. For me, it is when I visualize it, it's almost like I set it down in a box. And the box is there and the trauma is there, but it's not a part of me. It's not burdening me. Is it burdening me? It's not weighing on me, but it's there. And sometimes I just have it sitting right next to me. Sometimes I close the lid. Sometimes I leave the lid open. Oftentimes I like to put it in a closet or somewhere, maybe in a storage unit. And I can access it at any time because it is mine and it was my experience. However, carrying around that box just wasn't serving me anymore. It wasn't helping me to progress. So I decided to set it down. But again, it is still mine to keep and to access whenever I want it.
Okay. So you help your clients get to the place where they can know that it's still theirs and that is always going to be a part of their life, but it doesn't have to weigh on them.
Absolutely. Because again, we don't want to completely dismiss what had happened to us because those experiences did shape who we are today. They were real and they happened, but they don't have to be a weight and a burden on us anymore. However, I will say in my healing experience that I started about 3 years ago, I had a coach who kept offering to me, maybe you're not a sexual abuse victim. Maybe you're a sexual abuse victor. Maybe you're not just a trauma survivor. Maybe you're a trauma thriver, meaning you are the victor of your story. You're not the victim. You are a thriver, not just a survivor. You're a hero in this.
Okay. So she was using a reframe for you to kind
Absolutely. She was trying to help me replace my prior understanding or beliefs about my identity as a victim and really help me see how I ended up being the victor of my story. And I didn't die or I didn't give up or I kept trying, I kept healing. And she offered that to me and it wasn't safe at the time because I really wanted to hold on to the fact that no, I was a victim and I was victimized. And I held on to that belief because that is what was real for me. And it took years. It took about 4 years of my healing journey to finally get to a point where I wanted to and it felt safe for me to reframe, to create a newer narrative that, again, didn't completely dismiss my experience, but it was a newer narrative that was more empowering to me.
Okay. Yeah. But I like how you said that, that it wasn't, it is okay for you to understand that the reframe is available to you. It is also okay not to be ready to to absorb that reframe.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it was a no. I was like, oh, thank you. And it's a no. Yeah. Until all of a sudden one day I was like, wow, I am a trauma survivor and thriver. Wow, like that is me. And it felt good and it felt real. But when it had been offered to me 4 years prior, it didn't.
Right. Because I think in some way, I mean, you have to, you know, it's like I always say, like, when you're done, you're done. And, you deal with things, the status quo, because that is human nature. Like, we're not going to change anything because changing is hard, right? You do it. And then when you're done, you're like, and I'm done. I am not doing this anymore. So it sounds like it was kind of that sort of switch for you, that you went from, I'm a victim to, but it took 4 years to make the switch. But then when you were done being the victim, you were the thriver. You were the survivor and thriver. Is that?
Yeah, I got to keep both. That's the beauty, is I was a survivor, but absolutely, I'm also a thriver, and I was a victim, and I am the victor of my story, of my journey, and both feel aligned and both feel true. But I will say, being the thriver and being the victor and the hero of my story has been so empowering for me to help other people mm-hmm. access that part of their story if and when they're ready.
Yeah. So how do you manage that as a trauma mitigation coach? How do you manage the client who isn't ready for that reframe?
So that is definitely where a lot of the training has come in. Again, being able to know your client and their individual story and understand how their trauma has impacted them. Mm-hmm. For me, it's pretty clear. This might not be the most helpful answer, but for me, I just know, I can see it in them that is not available to them.
Okay.
And with their body language, with how they're reacting, if their nervous system is being activated, I know that that's not available, that's not relative, and that we need to switch into something different.
Okay. So what do you switch into? What do you do if that's not available to them to still help them move forward?
Yeah. Really, again, helping them feel seen, heard, understood, and then going to the nervous system to help them regulate. So once we can downregulate the nervous system, we are more able to access our prefrontal cortex. A lot of people call it the higher brain or the superior brain. Once we can regulate our nervous system, some more mindfulness can happen. And so that, again, that's when the somatic healing modalities can come in. Breath work, some yoga, the EMDR, just tapping right, left, right, left, right, left. Bilateral stimulation. I think I said it right that time. really taking a moment to just ground and center themselves. Again, this is not a one size fits all. I have clients who, when we work on breathing techniques, that is extremely activating and triggering for them.
Okay.
Breathing is not something that helps them regulate their nervous system. It actually makes it worse. So then we try tapping. We try EMDR. We try different things because, again, it is not a one size fits all.
Right. That makes sense. So What advice do you have for someone who's interested in seeking help for their trauma, but are scared, hesitant, unsure, feel like maybe I'll make the appointment, maybe not? Like, what, how can people access all the help that's available? Because I think a good portion of the challenge with our systems in this country is lack of access, right? We don't know what's available to that could help us. So what's your advice for that?
Well, the first thing I would say is you are 100% whole as you are. And you deserve all of the goodness and to live your best life. And you are also not alone. I think the most important message is we are all normal human beings experiencing normal emotions in a very abnormal world and an abnormal society. And so that is what I would like to offer in the very beginning. You are whole and complete as you are. And now you have an option to continue to heal or to heal some things that might be holding you back in your life. I actually stumbled across all of the healing modalities that I utilize in my own life only just maybe 18 months ago.
Okay.
I had gotten to a point where all of my therapists, and I will tell you that this is earth-shattering. When you have exhausted everything that you know, and your therapists are saying, "I'm so sorry, but I really don't know how else to help you."
Yeah.
There really is nothing else that I can do. At that moment in my life, and that was literally 3.5-4 years ago, it was confirmed to me that I was actually legitimately super duper extra forever shattered and broken, and there was no hope for me. And so I just continued on living my life and struggling in every aspect of my life until in my coaching world, I stumbled across trauma mitigation coaching. And I'm like, what is this? And I just delved in and I started doing all the research. And I'm like, what is somatic healing? What is tapping? What is EMDR? What is all of this? And I had no idea.
Right.
I had no idea it existed. So I guess what my suggestion would be is don't give up. There is a healing modality that can help you. If you haven't felt healed or seen or broken with what you've tried so far, there are so many other options out there. And it might just be a Google search.
Right.
It might be talking, as difficult as that is, talking to people, asking, "Hey, have you had any experience with this? Do you see somebody? What have you tried?"
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't, I knew of acupuncture, right? But I didn't have any experience with it. And the woman who was in the car accident with me, she injured both of her arms and still suffers from pain for that. And she knows that I still suffer from some pain. She's like, "Here, you should try this." And then, and she actually found my acupuncturist, the office, based on somebody that she knew who had, so it was like this whole thing to get me to these particular practitioners who have changed my life. I have felt like I used to feel, and sometimes I still do, like when I get incredibly anxious, especially with driving, I tighten up right on my neck and shoulder on the right side. And like, I can feel it starting and I will let my hands go and wiggle my fingers and try and loosen up, and nothing helps. And after the first treatment I had on my neck and shoulders, I was like, I didn't even realize I was in that kind of pain until the pain was gone. How was I managing to live with this for so long? And I think that's what so many people do, because things build up over time. You get used to it, right? You know, like I have an incredibly high tolerance for pain because I've experienced a whole lot of pain. So like, it doesn't, you know, I'm like, eh, whatever. I fell down and scraped my knee. Big deal. Whereas, you know, somebody else might be like, you know, like, but I feel like over time, especially people who have experienced trauma tend to numb out to that a little bit, if that makes sense. Like, don't feel it as bad as it actually is until it's gone. And so you kind of get to that point where you're like, I can live with this. It's fine. It's fine. I can live with this. And then when you get a glimpse that maybe I don't have to live with this, it's completely life-changing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're so right. For those of us who do carry trauma or who have suffered from trauma, what we do is we completely disassociate the mind from the body, because being in our body at times maybe wasn't safe or doesn't feel safe. And so I love that you have found acupuncture. That is brilliant. I have to tell you, as much as I love tapping and have utilized tapping for emotional pain, I had a tapping practitioner that I was in a conference with last week who had offered to do some tapping with me on a bulge disc in my neck that I've had chronic pain from for over 20 years. And I immediately was like, oh, well, sure, you can give it a go, but great. I actually have a bulge disc. So this tapping is not going to work, but I am going to just play along. I know tapping can change people's lives as far as stress and anxiety, but we're not going to magically heal a bulge disc in my neck. Right. So I kind of went into it with this terrible attitude. This was literally last Wednesday, so a week and a half ago. And we tapped on my neck pain. And I was like, awesome, thanks so much. Went about the rest of my evening. I woke up the next morning, and I'm not kidding, Carrie, my neck pain was gone.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, it really is. It's a miracle. Now, what I will say is that wasn't like the end all. It was all encompassing healing.
No, it comes back.
It can't, and it is back. I mean, I am feeling the tightness, and right. I feel it flared up right now. But that whole next day, I didn't experience any pain, and I have had chronic pain for 20 years. Now, I haven't continued the tapping on my neck, but I will say that for me, that was just a really big eye opener that there are more tools out there than we know. And maybe just being open to trying. I mean, that could be the difference between. Hope. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So you have talked a lot about different courses that you've taken and, you know, conferences you've gone to. So how do you continue to educate yourself and stay up to date with the latest research and technologies?
Well, I just geek out on all of this now. I feel like I opened a bag of worms again as somebody who up until age 35, not that long ago, felt like I was hopeless. Finding all of this, I have just delved all in. And so pretty much any accredited trauma certification that I stumble on, I am a part of it. I just finished up one trauma mitigation course with a phenomenal professor in Philadelphia, and I'm in one right now. Gabor Mate is a brilliant, brilliant, I don't even know what he would consider himself. I'm just going to say a therapist. I've taken several of his courses. You want to know what the number one thing I do though, Carrie, is what I will say, is how do I stay up to date? Is I continue to heal myself and work on my own healing journey. It's important to me that my clients know that I'm not this individual at the top of the mountain looking down on them, struggling up this mountain. Like, I made it. Good luck. Keep on coming. I'm in it.
Right.
I might be just a few passes ahead of you. I might have more tools that I've accessed or gained along the way, but I am in it as well. And when you're too tired or when you don't know what to do next, I've walked that road a little bit, and I can tell you, I can offer things. If you need me to, I can like pull you up a little bit, but I am on the same journey as well.
I love that. I think that in itself allows you to be compassionate and to really listen deeply, right? Because you're doing this too. I feel like that would be very heartening and relatable to have someone in your corner that is also continuing to heal. And I think that's an important thing to like think about too, right? Like, you don't just get healed like, oh, I'm healed, I'm fine, because that stuff is still a part of you and it can come back in ways that you don't necessarily expect because of some environmental trigger, right? And so it is important to know, and I think maybe set the expectation for yourself or, you know, for clients that this is a lifelong journey. That is not to say you're not going to feel better, but that it is going to always take intentional work.
I love that. And it's, you get stronger, right?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that it completely goes away, but you get stronger.
Hi everyone, Carrie here. Thanks so much for listening today. As many of you know, I have a new book coming out in the next couple of weeks. I'd love it if you would do me a favor. Buy a copy of Trauma is a Catalyst as soon as it is available. If my story at all provides you with a spark of hope or a sense of connection, buy another copy and give it to someone who you think would benefit. Ask them to do the same. My goal is to positively impact a million or more people. You can help me do that. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of this great conversation with Haley May. Let me ask you, of the things that you have been learning most recently, what's something that really sticks out the most?
Yeah. So there, I mentioned Gabor Mate, which his label is a physician. That's what he refers to himself as. But he's an expert on all things trauma. He he has this quote that really just blew my mind. And he says, trauma is what happens inside of you as a result of what happened to you. And he also quotes, his name is Rezma Menachem. I completely destroyed that pronunciation. But this quote too, it just encompasses everything. And he said, trauma can be anything that happens too much, too fast, too soon, too long, coupled with not enough of what should have happened. And that quote right there means so much to me, especially because I feel like there are so many of us walking around thinking, well, I didn't have a near-death experience. I wasn't sexually abused. So really, I don't have trauma.
Or my trauma doesn't count.
Or my trauma doesn't count, you know, where we get into the big T, little T trauma.
Yeah.
I understand why we've classified it as big T and little T, but sometimes I think we need to be careful with classifying things as little T trauma, because it doesn't matter what the event was, depending on the person and their experiences. Trauma can be anything that happens too much, too fast, too long, too soon, coupled with not enough of what should have happened. So it is all individual.
I think that's so important to remember, because I frequently have people say to me, like, they'll talk about something that happened to them, and then they'll say, but of course that's nothing like what happened to you. And my response to that is, it isn't like what happened to me, but that doesn't make it any less valid or important. It's happening to you, so it is important. And I think so many people think, like you said, I wasn't sexually abused. Like, I don't really have trauma, you know, or like, you know, I was only bullied in middle school. That's not trauma. And yet it can be, and it is for many people. And I think we deny that a lot, that we have experienced trauma and that we could benefit from all of these modalities to work through those things. Because healing is part of the journey, right? Like that's how we get to actually living life, is by healing as we go along, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, again, I am such a nerd when it comes to all things trauma, but I think both our mission is to help people not only heal from trauma or recognize trauma, but to understand that, you know, there's primary trauma, maybe something that directly happened to you, but there's also things like vicarious trauma, where maybe you didn't experience this thing, but there's something traumatic happening in your environment, in your atmosphere. And that can be traumatic. I mean, the world we're living in, there are wars, there are mass shootings. We are all experiencing types of secondary or vicarious trauma, even if we aren't directly impacted by that. And that might be helpful for some people, and that might not be helpful for some people. Some people might not want to label it that way, and that's okay. But just knowing that, and knowing that there might be some trauma and there might be some healing that can happen there, may be useful, may be liberating to
right.
some.
I was going to say, that sounds like freedom to me.
Freedom, right?
Yeah.
I love that. That's my, I just decided that was my mission statement, is helping others heal and find freedom.
I love that. Good one.
Thank you. I just came up with it.
That's awesome. So Haley, if people are interested in working with you, how can they find you?
Yeah. My website is HaleyMae.com. Haley is spelled with an I and two E's. And May is spelled with an E instead of a Y because my mom was just super creative and wanted to make my life difficult spelling my name. So HaleyMae.com. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Haley Mae Coaching, LinkedIn, Haley Mae Coaching, or you can shoot me an email at coaching@HaleyMae.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us today before we close?
I don't want to get emotional. I'm about to get emotional. I want to share, I have said this several times. First of all, thank you for being you. Thank you for inviting me on and letting me share some of my experiences. I'm going to say what I've been saying all along, but I'm feeling the emotions because I believe it 1,000% that anyone listening to this, you are not broken and you are not your trauma and you are not what happened to you. You are whole. You are beautiful. And you deserve to heal and find freedom.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I am so glad you were here today. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you, Carrie.